So today's reading, I think I didn't hit save on the PowerPoint before sending it to Kevin, so this one seems to be correct. Luke 17, verse 5. I realize that we're kind of doing a mixture of Graham's doing some I am statements through the Gospels in John, and then a number of the rest of us have often been sticking to the lectionary readings, and the lectionary's been looking at Luke. And again, like last time, I seem to be landed with another parable that if you read it on its own, you think, what exactly is Jesus trying to say? It doesn't come across so positive if you read it out of context. But we'll look at it together, and we'll have a look at what it might mean and why Jesus was using quite a stark parable to teach his disciples about faith. But anyway, the disciples come to Jesus, and from verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this black mulberry tree, 'Be pulled out from the roots and planted into the sea,' and the tree would obey you. Would any of you say to your slave who comes in from the field after plowing or shepherding sheep, 'Come at once and sit down for a meal'? Won't the master instead say to him, 'Get my dinner ready, make yourself ready, and serve me while I eat and drink. Then you may eat and drink.' He won't thank the slave because he did what he was told to. Will he? So you too, when you have done everything you have been commanded to do, should say, 'We are slaves, undeserving of special praise. We have only done what is our duty.'" So, what does this mean? So, the topic is faith and service, our faith and how we live our lives. And Jesus is trying to teach something, and we do have to take it into context of what's been happening. But anyway, in verse 5, we see the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, "Increase our faith." You know, you wonder what was going through the disciples' minds, and maybe also what we sometimes think about when we think about faith. You can imagine that the disciples have been following Jesus, they've been seeing Jesus performing many miracles. You kind of get caught up with the excitement of it all, and the disciples, perhaps, you're saying, increase faith. I mean, what exactly does that mean? Did they not trust Jesus? Of course they trust Jesus, but they clearly want something more for themselves. They think that if they just had more faith, that maybe like they could be doing some of the things Jesus could do, or maybe they could participate more, or maybe they just saw an opportunity, or we want to do the same things that you are doing, Jesus. We want to try to teach people about the good news that you've come to share. And they come and they're asking for something. And then Jesus comes back with a surprise about faith and also what it means to serve God. And so what is faith? I mean, faith is an acknowledgement that that we can't do something and we need to put our trust in something else. You know, do you have faith in the person that you're sitting next to? And, you know, there's the little challenge people do with if you stood with your back to them and fell backwards, do you have faith that they'll catch you? I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't think I ever managed to do it. I never trusted that someone would catch me. But we have faith in something else, and the disciples see this need, and they want the faith to grow. And so then we ask the question, well, you know, what was prompting the disciples to ask this question? And the passages before this, we're looking at teachings on forgiveness, teaching about not causing others to stumble. And so clearly, in among seeing Jesus performing great miracles, Jesus is teaching about, you know, being faithful, not stumbling, don't causing other people to stumble. The disciples are wanting more faith, more strength in what they believe in order to respond to what Jesus is saying. And then Jesus comes back and said, well, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. And although we're perhaps familiar with this, it is a bit of a strange strange reply, because, you know, the disciples are wanting something big, they're wanting something powerful, they're wanting something steadfast, you know, feeling inside of themselves for what can then make them trust in God and do all the things that God's calling them to do and Jesus is calling them to do. And then Jesus comes back and say, oh no, just this size, you know, just almost big enough to see if it was really close. So what exactly is Jesus saying? Well, one thing he might be saying is that it's really not about the big faith. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's not about how much faith you have. Jesus is saying you need to have authentic, true faith. And even the smallest, like the smallest seed, can grow and produce the largest plant. The whole point of what Jesus calls us into is what is impossible, he can make possible. Not because we have some big faith, but because we just put our trust, our small trust, but true trust in him. And of course, Jesus is pointing to the impossible here, because he's saying, well, you know, you just need true faith, very, very small. And even with that, you can say to this tree, and the tree that he pointed to was a tree that was known to have very deep roots, a tree that was impossible to dig up, certainly impossible to throw into the ocean. And so Jesus gives this picture of something which is just completely impossible in human strength to do, and saying that, but you just need the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can do that. And so we have this slight contradiction. The disciples are coming saying, give us more faith, give us big faith. And then Jesus turns around and says, oh, you need to have faith this size. You just need very small, tiny faith. And so the issue with us trusting in God and seeing the impossible done is not to do with the quantity of faith we have. It's just having authentic faith. And then that perhaps then helps a little bit with the context of then why Jesus goes on to talk about this parable of the servant. So the servant, as we see in the story that Jesus tells, the parable, the servant goes into the field, been working all day, plowing, tending sheep, comes back home. Then the servant, the question is, does the servant serve the food for the master and also eat himself at the same time? If the servant gets back first, then does the servant eat first? And then we see this picture, which would have been probably something that was culturally relevant to them, because it must have been that if you had a servant, that it was just obvious that when the servant comes home, they continue to serve the master, prepare the food, serve the food. The master is eating the food, relaxing, having a good evening, and only at that point can the servant then go and start relaxing, get out of the work clothes, sit down with their own food and start eating it. So this would have been a very obvious picture probably to the people of the time, that of course the servant doesn't sit down and start eating themselves first or at the same time as the master. And so Jesus seems to be pointing to the position of, well, you've come and asked me for big faith. I presume that's because the disciples are wanting to go out and do big things. And he's kind of sending this parable to say, remember your position. Now, of course, you could just stop there and you could take it as a very negative view of what Jesus said. He's like, well, you're just servants and God is God. I don't think that's what Jesus means here, because it doesn't tie up with the rest of his stories. You know, how does that tie up with the prodigal son who comes running and the father embraces him? I mean, clearly God doesn't view us as just lowly servants who are undeserving. So then what exactly is Jesus trying to say here? Well, he is trying to remind us that God is God, and that we, when we're doing God's work, are doing it not in our own strength, but through him. And that also that we, perhaps, if you take it from the point of view that clearly Jesus is not saying you are undeserving servants, because that doesn't make sense with everything else he says. But in this context, I hope I'm explaining this right. So what was the attitude of the disciples when they were coming saying, increase our faith, give us big faith? Probably they were getting into that mindset that we all get into, of, okay, like we're on a roll here. All we need is a bit more strength. All we need is a bit more of this. Maybe just I need a bit more money in my bank account. I just need to have a little bit more faith. I just need to increase my quiet times a little bit each day. And then I'm going to be soaring. I'm going to do it. And then before you realize, your whole picture is, if I just have all the right things, I can do all this. And then we actually no longer have faith because we're not depending on God to provide. We're suddenly thinking that this is all about me. So when the disciples came, they've been hearing Jesus' challenging teaching on forgiveness, of not letting other people stumble and misleading other people. And they're perhaps looking into themselves, thinking, oh, well, if we just have more faith, then we can get this all right. People can be singing and dancing in the streets. You know, when we start teaching them the truth and showing them the way, everything's going to be great. And suddenly their focus has actually come off God and come back onto them. And also, one of the things which we know from reading the Gospels and then also the teachings of Paul is that there's nothing that we can do to earn or deserve God's favor. And then we see when then Paul is teaching in Romans and also Ephesians, he often refers to the fact that it's by grace and not by works. Of course, we are to do works. God asks us to serve him, to be his hands and feet, to share his love with those around us. But we don't do that to earn any favor with God. Like Jesus is very clear, and then Paul in his teaching is very clear that that's what Jesus meant. There's nothing you can do to earn that. And so perhaps what's happening here is the disciples have started looking in on themselves, thinking, well, if I just have more faith, I can do all these greater things. And they maybe start thinking, well, if I do all these greater things, how much do God will favor me for all the things that I'm doing? And Jesus is very, very quickly giving them the reality of, but God is God and we're people. So let's not start looking in ourselves and starting building up spiritual pride in ourselves and stop depending on God, because that's not what we're called to do. And so maybe from that point of view, it makes a bit more sense. So Jesus is not turning around and saying to his disciples, you are worthless servants and slaves, and you shouldn't be looking for anything back from God. But what he's trying to say is, well, yes, faith is important, but you need genuine faith. And it's not about you trusting in your own strength, in your own powers, in your own merits. It's not about you doing great things that give you favor with God. You know, God already loves you. God's already welcoming you into his kingdom. And yes, we've to share his love and his grace with those around us. But by doing so, we don't somehow earn ourselves some special place before God. And so our motivation for doing things for Jesus has to come from a different place. And so maybe we ask ourselves the questions of, well, do I ever fall into this mindset? Or fall into this trap that perhaps the apostles were beginning to fall into, and Jesus was trying to drag them out of quickly with this slightly abrupt parable. Of course, in this time, when we look back 2,000 years, we can probably say from a distance and with our own perspective why this is important, because in this culture, they had a very much ingrained culture of a religious merit system. You know, you attended the temple. Depending on which tribe you were on, you might be more favored than another. The Pharisees then had this very stringent obeying the law and all the additional rules that they wrote all around what was already in the Bible to try to make sure that they always lived correctly. They never stepped outside of the favor of God. There was a lot of spiritual pride that they had within their society, and this expectation of if you do good things and you do things right, then you're in the favor of God and you'll be rewarded. So they already had this very much ingrained, and so Jesus was combating that. But then what is it that we might fall into? Because of course, in our lives, us here in this place, it's not like we're Pharisees, or we can see it in the same way as they were described in the Bible. We don't fall into the same trap, perhaps, as what the disciples were falling into in terms of their environment and what their culture was like. But maybe there's some similarities in things that we might have today. So, you know, it was very important what Jesus was trying to get across here, that it's not to do with you do something and you gain favor with God, or you have big faith, then you'll do mighty things. You know, there wasn't this. But, you know, maybe when we come to church, you know, do we expect to get something back from it? Of course we do. This is where it becomes a bit tricky. Because it's like, well, should you serve God and do things? Well, of course. But does that gain you extra grace from God? Well, no, of course it doesn't. The grace has been given freely. You know, when we come to church, is the reason that we come because we want to faithfully serve God, because He's God? Or do we come because we like the songs, we like the feeling when we leave the place? Nothing wrong with that. But just what your focus is on, you know, what do you get out of this? And are the aspects by which, in our faith, we're following Jesus, or we're doing things, we're coming to church, we're coming to cell group, coming to praise and prayer, that there's things which are drawing us along, which are not perhaps the correct motivations, but we don't question it because we think it's fine. I mean, the disciples clearly thought their question was fine. You know, give us big faith. I mean, what was wrong with that? But Jesus realized that there was a seed of the wrong focus in their minds, and He wanted to fix that. And I don't know exactly what that looks like for us today, but it's still worthwhile taking a step back and thinking, you know, do we have a quiet time with God because it makes us feel better, or because it's the right thing to do because He's God? And of course we will feel better, but that's not the reason we do it. We do it because we're trying to be faithful to God and His calling on our lives. Do we love and serve each other, and do we try and love and serve our community and our neighbors and other things because it makes us feel better? I mean, it really does make us feel better, doesn't it? It's difficult to separate it, but it's nothing bad with it making you feel good. But that's not the reason we do it. Do we sometimes just long for some more faith? Do we sometimes think, oh, if I just knew a bit more of my Bible, if I was able to speak more clearly with people, if I had some more faith, then everything would just be okay? And sometimes we can feel like that. I mean, I can think many times in my life. As one example, I remember walking home from church with someone when I was maybe, oh, I don't know, what age was I? Maybe around 15 or something. Maybe around the time I was beginning to come to this church. Long, long time ago, 15. Okay, so 30 years ago. And I remember he asked, he said, so why don't you get baptized? And I was like, oh, I don't feel ready. And then he looked at me and he was like, what do you mean not ready? Like, what, ready for what? And he queried it. You know, there was like some strange perception in my mind of I would feel ready one day. It was the same with like praying in tongues. I was like, I just can't speak in tongues. Like, something wrong with me. Like, Holy Spirit doesn't get in there. Like, something wrong with me. See where the focus is? And I remember someone saying, well, did you try opening your mouth while you were asking God to give you this gift? I was like, well, there's a trick. You know, sometimes these are just funny examples, but sometimes in a lot of the decisions we make it about us. Say, why can't I do this in the church, or why can't I share this with a neighbor, or whatever it is? And sometimes we turn it around on ourselves. And what Jesus is saying, that this is not how His kingdom works. His kingdom doesn't work that you will see breakthrough when you grow mighty big faith. This is a lot of the problem with the, you know, the big TV star evangelists and stuff now. You know, I remember speaking to someone once who was saying, oh, I just want to be like those big preachers from my home country that, you know, have huge faith up on the what do you call it?
the stage, you know, healing people and shouting and, oh, I want that big faith. And you're just like, sometimes we think that, you know, there's some magical, strong, big faith position that we can just get to, life will be fine. But this is not the kingdom of Jesus. You know, this is how the world works. The world works with, you know, the success rises to the top, you get big stars, you know, the people on the TV, the people make it to the top of the political ranks or whatever. You know, this is how the world works. It's actually not how the kingdom works. Almost everything that Jesus described with the kingdom was the complete opposite way, upside down, of how this world works. So it's not about the big, mighty faith and dancing around the stage, and if you just had that much confidence in God, then you can heal anyone you want. No, authentic faith, the size of a mustard seed, can do the impossible. Do you believe it? Do you sometimes get in the way of that tiny seed of faith in your life from having any action because you keep telling it, if you were just bigger, you could do something, but you're too small, so I park you. I'm not going to plant you in the soil. I'm just going to park you on the dry windowsill. No, Jesus said, no, if that's authentic faith, even if it's almost too small to see, it can do the impossible. And this is the God that we serve. And then we see it in Jesus' example himself. You know, when we think of the parable of the undeserving servant, we see a parallel there also of what Jesus laid down for us. Jesus, who was in the splendor of heaven, laid everything down for us, came to the earth. And we see in Philippians, you know, it says about the fact that Jesus gave it all up. He became nothing and took the position of a servant. And so what does that mean for us? So we serve this Jesus. He asks us not to go after that big, giant faith that is somehow dependent on us making it happen, but the small, genuine faith in him. He asks us to serve God with humility. We don't, in all that we do, it doesn't gain us grace from our Father. It doesn't gain us a special place. He's already given us all of that for free. No obligations attached. But we do serve God because we want to, and because he calls us to. And he loves us, and he gives us the same grace irrespective. So, what is it that God might be calling you to do? And what is your little seed of faith that he's calling you to plant? I don't know what that is for you. But I think this passage, although if we read it just very fast and walk away from it, we think it's just a negative statement about our position before God. But it's actually not. It's an invitation to come into his kingdom and to do things his way, which is not dependent on you, not dependent on great achievements, but just dependent on true, genuine faith in him. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the God of the impossible. We thank you that you are the God that can take our very weak and small but genuine faith and do the impossible with it. We thank you for many of us, or maybe all of us in this room, for the times in our lives when you have done that. And Lord, we can see in our own testimony that you have taken our tiny baby footsteps of faith towards you, and that you've done remarkable, amazing things with those. Help us to be a people who don't depend on ourselves, on our own strength, our own success, our own rummaging up of faith inside, but help us to be a people who are humble, Lord, to acknowledge that we can only do things in your power and in your strength, and a people of genuine faith and sincere faith in you. We thank you that you do invite us to be a part of your kingdom and part of your work here on earth. And we pray that, Lord, that through this week you might bring to mind what
small areas of faith you might ask us to be taking other steps into, and how we might share your love and your grace and your good news and your truth with those around us. Lord, we want to be your hands and your feet in this earth. We thank you that it doesn't depend on our strength and our wisdom, our knowledge, and how big our faith is. You just ask us to take that baby step, that sincere seed-size faith step towards you, and let you empower us to do your work. Just thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. We thank you that there's nothing we can do to earn it, that you've already given it to us. And help us, Lord, to walk in that reality, knowing who we are before an almighty, loving and faithful and generous God. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.